ready. I'm thirsty.
Welcome to Thirst with Cheryl, a podcast making biblical truths plain. I'm your host, Cheryl Tyner, and today we're discussing the recipe. This podcast is meant to be a sip, a basic overview. Let's jump right in and begin with prayer. Lord, open all ears to hear and hearts to receive. Give listeners revelation, light, or an aha moment. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been discussing prayer for the last three podcast episodes. I've continuously discussed prayer because it is an act of communication or conversation with God. Better still, it is one of the most powerful tools we as Christians possess. Reminder, we are made in the image and likeness of God, and we can approach God directly in prayer. There is no need for a middleman. Hebrews 4 and 16 tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, I grew up believing that the way to pray was in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, which is the Lord's Prayer. In this passage, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. So I thought that was it. I know the Lord's Prayer, so I thought it was all good. But Hosea 4 and 6, the NIV version, says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." And so I am grateful for my relationship with Christ because the Holy Spirit revealed to me that there is much more. The Lord's Prayer, the King James Version, reads like this: "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, some may still believe that the Lord's Prayer is a prayer we are supposed to recite word for word as with vain repetitions. Others treat the Lord's Prayer as a magic formula, as if the words themselves have some specific power or influence with God. Now, it's quite the contrary. Matthew 6 and 7 instructs us not to pray with vain repetitions. Now for our recipe. Let's say we want to make a carrot cake. We should get all the ingredients so that we can mix and bake the cake pertaining to the recipe. The same with the Lord's Prayer. I say it is a recipe or the pattern of how we should pray. Let's break it down quickly and look at the ingredients of our recipe. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, God is our Heavenly Father. There are several places in the Bible that point this out, but one scripture that sticks out with me is 2 Corinthians 6 and 18, the NIV version, which says, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Hallowed be your name. Hallowed means greatly revered or honored. The Bible says in Psalm 100 and verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." We are showing adoration to our Heavenly Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The definition of kingdom is a domain ruled by a king. So when you are saying your kingdom come, you are not only praying for an extension of God's reign to be brought to earth, but also praying for God's will, which is what he says in his word, to be brought forth. So when we are praying for God's will and not our own will, our submission is necessary. This indicates divine intervention and submission. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread not only means actual food to eat, but also Jesus is known as the bread of life. So we are talking physical and spiritual here. David writes in Psalm 37 and 25, the King James Version, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So David is saying in this psalm that he has never seen the righteous forsaken or the righteous's seed, i.e. children, begging for bread. In other words, God provides. That's the physical. Now, for the spiritual. The Word of God is what we need to feed our spirit. Matthew 4 and 4, the NIV version says, It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This part of the Lord's Prayer denotes provision. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Now, some versions say forgive us our trespasses, and some say forgive us our sins. Nevertheless, we spoke about forgiving others so that God can forgive us in last week's podcast. Unforgiveness is a hindrance to answered prayer. Matthew 6, verse 15, the easy to read version says, But if you don't forgive others, then your Father in heaven will not forgive the wrongs you do. This part of the Lord's Prayer puts emphasis on forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. John 10:10 says that Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He knows what you like. He knows your weaknesses. He knows that you are trying to avoid certain things. He is very conniving and deceitful. It is Satan that tempts us, and then we in turn react on the temptation. For example, say you are on your way to an AA meeting, and Donnie asks you for a ride to the meeting. Donnie asks you to make a stop at the corner store so that he can grab a water. However, Donnie returns to the car with a six-pack of beer. AA meeting placed on hold, and that's a slick move. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says that God is faithful and will not let you be tempted more than you can bear. The scripture also says that he will show you a way out of the temptation. But you have to know what the Word of God says. You never know that this was in the Bible if you don't study the Word. Remember, here I go again. Hosea 4 and 6 says, We are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. This part of the Lord's Prayer places emphasis on guidance and deliverance. While researching, I noticed that some versions leave out the last portion of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. However, I feel that this is the sour cream icing on the carrot cake. Praise him. Praise is not just songs of worship. It is actually a warfare tool given to us by God to shift the battle over to him. Psalm 22 and 3 says, God inhabits the praises of his people. So when you come into God's presence, begin with adoration for your Father. Tell God how great he is, how awesome he is, how much you love him, etc. You know what to say. Let it come from your heart. Submit and yield to God's will, allowing divine intervention to take place. Make sure you do not have any unconfessed sin or resentment. Ask God to continue to provide you and increase a yearning to study his word, to feed your spirit. Ask God to protect you from the evil one and or give you wisdom on how to get away from the tempter. Then praise him, because it does say in the Bible in Psalm 22 and 3 that God inhabits the praises of his people. This is the recipe for our carrot cake. Why not put some extra raisins or walnuts in our batter by using everything you've learned about prayer from our previous podcast? And listeners, since Ephesians 1 and 5, the Amplified Version says, we are to be imitators of Christ. Pray in your prayer closet or someplace alone. That is how Jesus did it. He always rode out to the mountains or someplace where there was peace and quiet to pray. Enjoy your time with your daddy. At the end of each podcast session, I want to remind listeners of two scriptures. Hebrews 2:1, the NIV version, which says, "We must pay the most careful attention to what we have just heard so we do not drift from it." And 2 Timothy 3:16-17, the NIV version says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, which is you and me, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." You've been listening to Thirst with Cheryl. We look forward to you joining us again next week for more biblical truths made plain and simple.